So today we are at the half point of the Lenten season, and this Sunday is called Letare Sunday. Letare, the Latin word that we translate as rejoice. And the reason this is called Letare Sunday is because of the introit verse taken from Isaiah 66. We don't say it here at St. Peter's, but if you have the missalette, it's right there at the beginning of today's readings. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. Rejoice with Jerusalem. So what do we mean by Jerusalem? Well, of course, ultimately, we mean the new Jerusalem. When heaven and earth will be one, we anticipate heaven. And at the end of the book of Revelation, heaven is referred to as the new Jerusalem. So that's what we ultimately rejoice in. But Jerusalem is also that city in the Middle East that for the Jewish people has been the pole and the focus of their life. And for us as Catholics, Jerusalem is the church. And so we rejoice with Jerusalem, but to rejoice with Jerusalem also means to be honest about who Jerusalem is here below. And the image that I want to use as we think about this is I want to think of soil, and that the church is to be like good soil. The church, you see, is to be the medium by which God imparts his grace to us. And so if the soil is the grace of God, this virtue of joy that is at the center of today's theme are the fruit that grow out of the soil. And so we do rejoice with Jerusalem. And what is it like when we experience something of this real joy? Back in the 1960s, Blessed Paul VI, in an exhortation called Joy in the Lord, put it this way. Paul VI wrote, "It is well known that there are different degrees of this joy. Its most noble expression is the cheerfulness or happiness in the strict sense. When someone has, at the level of his higher faculties, found satisfaction." In other words, something that we have attained a level of skill and competency that we feel great about it. How do we see this at its highest level? It's sometimes fun. I find it fun to watch a concert pianist on YouTube. Because you see this man or this woman just having such facility over their instrument, say the piano. And I sort of play the piano, and when I watch someone on YouTube doing it, I say, I cannot play at that level. But I can appreciate the joy. You see it on their face. You see it in the interplay with the orchestra. And how did Paul VI put it? It's cheerfulness, happiness, when someone at the level of his higher faculties finds satisfaction. Or we think of Johnny Gaudreau splitting the defense with that puck on his stick, going around the back of the net and passing it to Sean Monahan and that goal going in. There's something about that that speaks to life being lived on a higher plane. Or when a choir gathers together on a Sunday morning and they've been practicing during the week and they're offering together their harmonies to the Lord. Or a child who for the first time makes spaghetti and meat sauce and serves dinner. And there's a sense, Mommy, Daddy, I did it. This is what Paul VI is talking about. This is that kind of joy where we have that sense of, this is what I was made for. And that is at the very heart of what it means to be Christian, to know what we are made for. And what we are made for is to be planted in the soil so that we can be a fruitful people. I'll return to this in a minute when we look at what St. Paul wrote in Ephesians. But we have to hear something else Paul VI wrote. And remember, he wrote these words in the 1960s. And we are so much more advanced in terms of what he says next. Technological society has succeeded in multiplying occasions of pleasure. But it finds great difficulty in giving birth to joy and happiness. And isn't that our world? There are all sorts of ways we have multiplied pleasure. Back in the 1980s, there was a man by the name of Neil Postman who wrote a book with a very evocative title, Entertaining Ourselves to Death. Entertaining ourselves to death. And I think this is what Paul the Sixth is getting at, that we have this way, yes, we have all of these pleasures, but joy and happiness elude us. Why? Because of what he says next. For joy and happiness have its origin elsewhere. It is a spiritual thing. And that's the problem with our technology. It can detract us, distract us, help us to actually forget the spiritual thing. And so Paul the Sixth goes on to write, money, comfort, hygiene, material security may often not be lacking, but nevertheless, despite these advantages, boredom, suffering, and sadness are frequently found supervening in the lives of many people. In many ways, Paul the Sixth was a prophet. And these are very prophetic words. Can you imagine someone who lived 150 years ago being teleported into our day and seeing all of the things that we have to make our lives easier? We've never had it so good. But would that person say, I've never seen a more joyful, a happier people? I don't think the statistics of what's happening in our society would say that we are. Because you see, there's something that happens when we separate ourselves from that spiritual reality, the soil begins to go bad. And when the soil goes bad, what can grow in it? Very little. And it's this theme that we hear read specifically in our Old Testament passage from the book of Chronicles. But what we have to appreciate is that the underlying reality in all of this is that God is not only good, but that God is compassionate. And that is the underlying theme in our first reading. It says that God had compassion on his people. And so out of that compassion, out of that sense of God sending the prophets who said, the soil is bad. It's gotten really, really dry. There are all of these weeds. We've got to do something about what is happening to you people. Listen to what the chronicler writes. All the leading priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Now, did you catch the key thing there? They followed all of the abominations of the nations. You see, God wanted Israel to be set apart, to be different from the world. But Israel said, no, no, we want to be just like the world. But if that's the case, God says, how can your soil be the soil of grace? And so he sends the prophets, one after another, after another. And the chronicler tells us, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them his messengers. But listen to Israel's response. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, till the wrath of the Lord rose against the people, till there was no remedy. Understand that what is happening in this Old Testament lesson is we are seeing the trajectory of centuries of God's work with his people until we get to the year 597 BC when there is no longer any remedy. God had been trying all sorts of ways to restore that soil. But he said, you know, now what we have to do, we've got to dig it up completely. We've got to bring in new soil. We've got to start over. And so the Jerusalem temple was destroyed. And over the course of 10 years, either many of the Jewish people were killed or they were sent into exile into Babylon, where they stayed for 70 years. And it's interesting that in our text it says, so that the Sabbath could be restored. And part of what that means for Jewish people is that the land could lay fallow, so that the land could be restored, so that the land could become again land of grace. And so 70 years later, Cyrus, who is now the head of the Persian Empire, which is now the dominant nation, allows for people to go back into the land and to begin to rebuild the temple and to rebuild their lives. But this is something, beloved, that we see throughout of history. The church forgets who we are. We forget that we are to be this holy ground. We are to be the soil of grace. And how that has affected the Catholic Church in our day. One of the greatest judgments against the church was the clergy abuse scandal. It's horrific in its dimensions. It's horrific to see how the church ignored it and what that did to the soil, to the grace ground that is to be the church. But the beautiful thing is, God never gives up on us. He is a compassionate God. And out of that terrible, terrible chapter in our life, the soil has been dug up. New fertilizer and new dirt is being put down. One example of this that has touched my life so perfectly and beautifully and so closely is that when Bishop Robert Barron realized that out of the horror of what happened in the sex abuse scandal in the United States, said, I have to have a way to tell the story of the Catholic Church, and he produced the Catholicism series. That series was instrumental to my conversion. And so what I'm wanting to tell you is we've got to be honest when there are problems. We cannot hide from them. But as St. John says in our gospel today, quoting Jesus, we have this tendency as human beings to be like cockroaches. I used to live in Montreal, and I lived in a really old apartment building. And at nighttime, if I went into the kitchen to get a glass of water and I turned on a light, there would literally be hundreds of cockroaches that would scatter because they didn't want to be in the light. And during the daytime, I could be quite naive and think, oh, this is such a nice, clean kitchen. I don't see any cockroaches. No, because they don't come out during the daytime. They only come out at night. And that's how evil works. And that's how evil works in the church. We can be like cockroaches. But that's not what God wants for us. You see, God wants us to be a people of joy. He wants us to be a people who rejoice in Jerusalem, who rejoice in his church. Because when we understand the most famous verse in the whole of Bible that we had today, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, to all that believe in him should not perish but have eternal life, because God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn it but to save it. And we just need to know that we need to be saved, that the church needs to be saved. Because in the 21st century, the kind of church we need is a church that is good soil. The kind of church that we need is the church of grace, where out of that soil that is fertile and rich and deep and dark, the fruit and the flowers that are joy may indeed spring forth. This is exactly what St. Paul understood when in, I think, one of the most important passages in the whole of his writings, he speaks of God's compassion this way. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together in Christ. Made alive in Christ. And then this beautiful verse, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So here's the thing. What is the grace? It's Jesus. Where does that grace manifest itself? In the church. So we are the flowers, right? We are the fruit. We are not the soil. And without the soil, we are not growing anything. But what Paul is saying is that when we understand that grace is the soil of God's love and that we root our lives in him, listen to what he says at the end of our passage. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the Christian life. We are created for good works. We are created to be joyful, to be fruitful. And let me end with a little bit of a mixed metaphor. I really like playing the piano, and I really like playing this piano. This is a beautiful piano. Know why? It has very even action. It has a very rich bass. And in this room, when it's empty, I might even feel like I might be in Carnegie Hall. Who knows? Not really. But here's my point. The instrument is made ready for the artist. The instrument is made ready for the artist. And that's another way to put into practice what St. Paul is saying. We have been created for good works. In other words, we are the instruments on which God wants to play the music of grace. But if the action is clunky, and some of the notes aren't working, and it's out of tune, it doesn't matter how great the artist is, it isn't going to sound very good. And that's why we need Lateri Sunday in the middle of Lent. We need this day to remember we are called to be a people of joy. We need this day to remember that apart from the soil of grace, we cannot be joyful. But when we cooperate with Jesus Christ, then that other word from St. John's Gospel makes so much sense. When we come into the light, it is seen that our deeds are being done through God. May the rest of our Lent be a holy Lent, a gracious Lent, and a Lent where we say, by grace I have been saved through faith. Lord Jesus, help me to live a life where I produce the fruit, the flowers of joy.